You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Yo, this is Justin Bieber.
Hey, it's Ariana Grande. Just the Interviews, a Zach Sang Show exclusive podcast.
Look at this, beautiful humans. We got Dan, hey. We got me, and we welcome Olivia O'Brien. Ooh. Hi. You can pull that microphone closer.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Ah, you sound really good.
Thank you.
You have a very nice speaking voice.
Really? I don't like my speaking voice.
What? Why?
I feel like nobody likes listening to, like, when I listen back to myself, like, on videos and stuff, can't stand it.
I feel like I can't look at myself, but I can listen to myself all day.
I can't look at myself or listen to myself. So.
That breaks my heart a little bit.
It's okay. It's fine. I'm dealing with it.
You're beautiful.
Thank you.
Let's start there. And the first time I met you, you stopped my friend Dylan in his tracks. Like, he almost started drooling to the point where I was like, what's wrong with you, friend? And he like didn't even lock eyes with you. He just witnessed you. And it was at the Nash concert.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember
that's
that
crazy.
Very vividly.
Well, tell him thank you.
I will. I'll pass on your notes. Okay. And then I saw the last time was at David Dobrik's house.
Yeah, David's. That was funny. With AJR?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because they make the music, or they use his song, their songs, in his videos.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was like do you hang out with them often?
With David?
Yeah, and that crew?
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually, my boyfriend is like his best friend, so...
Cool. Mm-hmm. Who?
His name's Todd.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Sweet. All right, we have music to dive into. Love Myself. That is the record out right now. That is the latest. But I feel like it is connected to the other two you released in 2018. Mm-hmm. Am I wrong in saying that?
Well, I have an album coming out in the spring, so all of those songs and all the songs I've been releasing recently are going to be on it. And so I feel like they're all connected because it's all part of a body of work. And I started working on it in like last January. So all the songs that I've written since then, I feel like it almost was like a new era for me. Like right before that, I had really bad writer's block. And then I went and I wrote I Don't Exist, which came out in September, I think.
Yeah.
And then since then, all the songs I've made just have been, I feel like, my best work. And so I feel like they're connected because it's like all part of this new era.
It's like, it's a chapter. Like, I kept writing in my notes, it's like a chapter. Like, it sounds like a new chapter on life. Mm-hmm. What caused your writer's block? What do you think?
It's hard to say because I feel like it happens so randomly all the time. Like, I'll go a few months and I'm just writing, like, I'll go into a session and just write a song in, like, 20 minutes and it's great and it's awesome and whatever. And then, like, the next week I'll go in and I'll have like three sessions and I just cannot write anything and I don't know why. I think it's just because I write based on my life experiences.
And, so you gotta live.
Mm-hmm. And if I'm not living my life, if nothing's inspiring me, I just like cannot, like I just can't, I don't know.
I get it. Yeah, because you need memories, right? Mm-hmm. You need experiences. Like you need to feel things in order to write about feelings.
Yeah, definitely.
I Hate You, I Love You. Life-changing record. Financially, fame-wise, all of it. Mm-hmm. After that, are you in a easy writing flow or are you suffering from a block or a lack of life?
I mean, it's been a few years now, so like I've been in and out of, I mean, it happens, like I feel like every couple months I get really bad writer's block. Lately, I haven't even, I mean, it's hard to say. It literally comes at random times. And like sometimes I'll just be sitting, like I'll be like in the shower and I'm like, oh my God, I have the best idea for a song. And I like run out of the shower and like write it down in my notes. Like it happens, or I'm driving and I have to pull over on the side of the freeway and like write down like my idea or record it in like voice memo. But yeah, I don't know. It just sometimes random inspiration will come and sometimes it's just not there.
But was there pressure after a record like I Hate You, I Love You? Because it was a bit huge. Massive.
I think there was There was definitely pressure, but I was able to kind of sit back and be like, okay, what do I do now? Because it was my first song I ever released, so I had to kind of catch up with myself and be like, okay, I make music now professionally and not just a girl writing songs in my room. Like, I have to go meet with producers and figure out what a session is and what you, like, how do I share my feelings with, like, this, like, man who's, like, 15 years older than me sitting there on the computer? Like, how do I say, like, oh, this is what I want to write about and, like, be comfortable with that?
You have to learn everything.
I had to learn everything. I'd never been in a session. Like, my first time, like, in a session was with Nash making I Hate You, I Love You, and I'd already had the song written.
How cool is that?
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Like, I mean, it is special, and I always think about the power of the internet and really how the internet can change anybody's life in a second. And that's what changed your life, at least with Nash, right? You covered one of his records and ended up on SoundCloud. He hears it, and you send him a song. It started as a voice memo?
Yeah, I think so. It was just a voice memo, and I was playing piano and singing.
What do you learn about your creative process from that? Like, and how do you change it after that record?
Oh, I mean, it's changed in every possible way, because I was 15 in my room writing that song. I didn't think anyone would hear it. So it's like, now I write songs with the intention of, like, okay, I'm writing this song and people are going to hear it and it's going somewhere and it has to have all these different elements. Back then it was just like, oh, I'm on my piano and, like, this is how I feel. Now it's like, how can I have cool production? Like, what's some new things I can do? Like, what do I do for this melody? Like, it needs a hook, whatever. Like, I'm just more, I have more of the mind of, like, an actual songwriter rather than, I mean, I still, like, whenever I am having a block or whenever I'm, like, struggling, I will go back to, like, okay, I wrote this song when I was 15, and it was just how I felt, and it was my most successful song. So, like, maybe I should just chill and, like, just write about how I feel and see what happens.
Yeah, it's a reminder to just be yourself, but it is a balance, right?
Like, yeah, definitely.
You never want to lose yourself, because who you are and what you feel and what you experience is what creates everything.
Yeah.
But you also got to be focused on production, because it helps tell the story.
And I also want to just strive to be better and make the best possible music that I can, rather than just, like, you know, throwing my feelings on a piece of paper. So
I get that. So let's dive in here with these records. I Don't Exist. I felt it because I've experienced it. And the way you called out L.A. so eloquently, but also so honestly, hard? Like, I mean, hard to do, but also hard to realize that in yourself?
I feel like I've written so many songs about L.A. and my experiences here. I don't know. It's just that, actually, because that was after I had, like, a 2-month writer's block. I was, like, really struggling, and I was just so down on myself about that, and among other things. It was just a dark time in my life. I wasn't doing so well mentally. So I went into the session, and it was with these producers that now they've ended up doing most of my album. But this is my first time working with them. It was a year ago.
Wow.
And they came from Sweden. It was this amazing guitar player and writer, and then this producer. And then I also was with my best friend, Drew, who I write a lot of my songs with. And I told them, I was like, I have writer's block right now. I'm probably not going to write anything good, but, like, let's try. And then they just started making this amazing track. Tobias, the guitar player, started playing this, like, just the beautiful guitar in that song. And I was, like, so inspired by it. I was like, great, this is amazing. I just started writing, and I didn't even have a concept. I didn't have a hook idea. I just literally just started writing it, and just it happened. And then at the end of, like, the first verse that I wrote, I was like, I don't exist. And then I looked at Drew, and I was like, could this be a hook? Like, should we just, like, make it a hook, like, whatever, and call it I Don't Exist, and, like, that's the song? And he was like, yeah, like, you just wrote a song. Like, congrats, your writer's block is over. I was like, great.
Wow. It's a hook. It's a clear statement, but it's also, was it healing? Because those feelings have to come from somewhere. Like, the statement,
definitely,
just to flow out of you, I don't exist, is, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think when I'm really feeling something, like, a lot, and I dig into my mind, and I just, like, it's like opening, like, a little door in your brain, and then, like, everything just kind of comes out. And it is just, because I don't even know how to explain it. It's like just putting your feelings into words, and sometimes it's hard to do that, and sometimes it just, like, clicks, and it just comes out of you.
It flows because it needed to come out.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. And that one record starts everything? I Don't Exist?
Yeah, it was the first one after my, like, writer's block that I really loved. And then after that, the next day I came in and I wrote UDK. And then I ended up having 2 more days with these guys, because we just were like, okay, we can't, like, just, we can't lose this.
Like, yeah, you don't want it to stop.
Yeah, and then I wrote two more songs with them. And
on a roll.
Yeah, and then I ended up going to Stockholm and writing with them there, and that's where I wrote Love Myself and a couple other songs.
Statement record, too. Mm-hmm. Are you talking to yourself in Love Myself, or are you talking to somebody else?
I'm definitely talking to myself. I think, and again, when I, most of the songs on my album, when I wrote them, like, I was not in a good place. I think that I'm, I mean, I'm in a good place now. I'm in a better place. I'm not fully where I, you know, where I want to be and need to be in life, but I think that mentally I'm doing a lot better than I was when I wrote all these songs. And so I think I was kind of talking to myself in the future, like, oh, I need to love myself. Like, why am I so hard on myself? Why am I doing this? Like, I don't need to be doing this to myself. Like, I should love myself. So it wasn't like, I do love myself. It was like, I need to get my head on straight. I need to do that for myself.
You address the pressure that society puts on you, and instead of drowning in it, you kind of, you use it as a realization moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's not even just pressure that society puts on me. It's pressure that I put on myself. I'm, like, probably my hardest critic, so.
But by the way, that everybody puts on themselves, because I heard myself and I, like, I understood that. Like, I just, I, you know, when you hear a record like that, you, something like that, everybody connects to.
I mean, I think when you're honest about how you feel, we're all human. We all have emotions, and most of our emotions are pretty similar. We feel a lot of the same things. Like, it's just part of being human, and especially part of being young. Like, you know, you just, you have to figure out who you are and how you feel about stuff. And some people can't put that into words, and I'm lucky enough that I can. And, like, I feel like that's why I'm here. It helps people, because not everyone can say, like, this is how I feel and whatever, whatever. If someone can relate and hear how I feel and it makes them feel better, then that's, you know, my job is done.
It helps people, and also kind of sounds like it helps you too.
Oh, 100%. It's like my therapy. Like, my mom, I call her the queen of therapy. Like, she loves therapy. Every time anything went wrong in my life when I was a kid, she would throw me into therapy, and I just wouldn't even talk to them. I would just sit there and be like, what was I supposed to say to these people? I can't relate to them. So I would go home and I would write songs, and, like, that was my therapy. That's what works for me. Like, therapy might work for some people, but, like, wow, songwriting works for me.
Were you asking yourself questions in your head to pry things out of yourself, or is it just, like, you talk about unlocking a door?
I mean, it depends. I feel like it's different every time, but whenever I'm just feeling, like, emotional, I just go into my room or whatever, and I just let it out. I don't know. It just, I feel like I'm not even there. It's just my brain, like, spewing it out.
Costing therapists money for 19 years. Yeah?
Yep.
Wow.
Zach Sang Show.
Hey, I want to talk to you about the S word, school. I've been thinking about going back to college for a little bit now. My mom brings it up every now and then. But I don't know. I need the right school for me. And maybe one of our sponsors is that school. If you're like me and you've been considering going back to school, you gotta ask yourself the following questions. Do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? Do you have college credits that need to be easily transferred? Do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of those questions, Arizona State University could be the perfect school for you. Arizona State University offers over 150 highly ranked degree programs, 100% online. So you're going to earn the same degree that you would on campus on your own schedule from wherever you are. It's totally up to you, which to me, that's like the coolest thing in the world. Plus, ASU Online accepts so many different transfer credits. They're there to make it easy for you. If you want more information, text Zach to 35517. That is ZACH to 35517, and you'll learn why the Wall Street Journal ranks ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates, and why 87% of ASU grads are recruited for jobs within the first 90 days of graduation. That's really impressive. Learn to grow, learn to succeed, and learn to thrive. Arizona State University. If you want to learn more about ASU online degree programs, text Zach to 35517. That is Zach, ZACH, to 35517.
Zach Sang Show.
Love Myself is the record. It's out now. Listen to it. But before that is Care Less More.
Mm-hmm.
Another statement record, too. Like, you're sending a message.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that song, it was one of the more, like, recent songs that I wrote, like, the latest songs that ended up on the album. And it's definitely more fun. I feel like I was, because a lot of my songs are on, like, a sad note, but that song, the lyrics are sad if you really listen to them, but it has more of, like, a fun, like, sultry, like, vibe to it. And I did, in my music video, I did like choreography and I danced a little bit, which was super fun. So I kind of tried to like make that my more fun song, even though it's a little bit sad if you listen to the lyrics.
Are you a dancer?
Yeah, I used to be a dancer for like basically most of my life. I started in fourth grade and then I stopped when I left high school when I was like a junior in high school. So
is it weird to dance to some of your records, even though they are so emotional and they, I don't know.
I mean, I've never done it before. This is like my first time doing it because I always, you know, like I said, I'm my harshest critic. Like I just felt like, oh, I'm a singer. Like I shouldn't be like dancing. Like that's, this is weird. Like I what if I'm not good? Because like I'm not just a dancer anymore. Like I'm a singer. So is this like, are people going to be like, oh, she sucks. Like why is she doing that? Like she's just sick to singing.
but that's like a real conversation to have with yourself.
Yeah.
And out loud, which some people might find crazy, but it makes sense, right? Like, what do you do up on stage? How do you, but you feel it.
Yeah. When I'm on stage, even like, I don't know if I had choreography, I feel like I would forget it. I just go up there and I'm like, whatever. Like, I just kind of move my body in whatever
way. That was very like used car dealership inflatable man.
Yeah. That's my vibe.
I vibe with it. I'm in.
Why the color purple?
Great question. So I actually, the other day, was in the studio. The first song of my album, at the end of it, I have like a poem describing why I like the color purple and why it's become kind of my thing. So not only is it like just an amazing color, it's been my favorite color since I was little. I used to call it purple because I couldn't say purple. but it's the highest vibrational color of light, violet light, other than white light, because white light has like all the colors in it. Anyway, and then it also, it means like spirituality and royalty and creativity and all these amazing things. So I just love what the color represents. And I think, I mean, it's my favorite color. But also, this guy that I like pretty much wrote the entire album about, it was his favorite color too. And we like bonded over that or whatever, I guess. I don't know. And then when we stopped talking, I saw the color purple everywhere and it like reminded me of him. And I was like, great, now I see my favorite color and I think of you. Like, this is,
oh, that's
so I was like, no, that's not happening. I'm gonna dye my hair purple and I'm gonna make everything I do purple and it's my color and you can't have it and it's mine.
But you're just gonna own it outright.
Exactly. So then when I see purple, I think of myself, and other
yours.
People think of me, and someone sees something purple, they send it to me, and I'm like, and they're like, thought of you. I'm like, yeah, yeah. It's mine.
It's really genius. Because it happens often, right? You see something, a number or a movie. No, it's like a good life lesson.
Mm-hmm. Just make it your own thing. And
that's it.
Whatever.
Is it weird writing a whole album about an ex when you have a new boyfriend?
Well, I finished it like pretty much before I met my boyfriend. So
okay.
Now I'm like, if I go into a session, because I haven't really been writing over the holidays and stuff. Now I'm like, can't write anything sad. He'll probably be like, why are you sad? Did I do something wrong? I'm like, no.
But the next chapter is going to be different because it's
exactly
where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Have you been writing since?
Yeah, I've been writing a little bit. It's definitely more like, right now I'd say all the songs I've been writing have been about like being scared of like starting a new relationship and like being scared to like love someone and actually like get love back and not, because I've always like been the person that likes people and doesn't really get that reciprocated. And I feel like that's what's inspired all of my songs in the past.
Constantly friend zoned?
Honestly, yeah.
Really? What? That's.
I have a song on my album called Just Friends, and it's about like me being friend zoned.
Well, like, was there a moment, like, any point in your life where you're like, why? Like, why do you think you were friend zoned?
Well, I think I just go for the guys that I know won't like me back because I don't. Like, it's almost like I don't want it. Because, like, I've always been so hard on myself and so self-conscious and all of these things that I'm, like, I'm holding myself back from actually being happy because I feel like I almost deserve to, like, be sad and, like, not have that.
I get that. Yeah. I understand that. And in doing that, are you going after the safe people or are you just going after the wrong people?
No, I'm going after, like, the people that are really unattainable or, like, just, like...
Are they friends of yours before or are they...
It's, like, people, like, guys that will be, like, I don't want a relationship. I'm not ready for a relationship. I'm not over my ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
I'm whatever it is. Like, I'm like, yes. Oh my God. Hi.
You're for me. This is the biggest challenge. 1,000 hoops to crawl through. I'm in.
I'm like, I can already hear the songs I'm writing about you. Yes. Amazing.
An emotional Olympics. Yeah. I mean, Do you think that's a part of it, right? This idea that the more you live and you emotionally put yourself at risk, the more you feel, and then the more you have to write about.
Yeah, the more content. Oh yeah, definitely.
Wow.
But now I like to think of it as like I'm not afraid to like jump into things, or I mean not like dive in right away, but like I'm not afraid to start new relationships and, you know, just be vulnerable, because if it backfires, I'll write a great song. If something bad happens to me, great, I'll turn it into a song.
You always come out on top.
I mean, hopefully.
Is there any part of your brain that feels like you can put yourself into somebody else's shoes and like write a story that's not your own, or write a song that's about somebody else's story?
I've done that before, actually. I was just talking about this with my one of my best friends, Maddie. I wrote a song a couple years ago for her when she went through a breakup. And that was like one of the first times I ever did that. It has to be someone really close to me, I feel like, or just... Yeah. Or just something that really affects me. Like, actually, last night, one of my other friends, like, just went through something where a guy just treated her horribly, and it was really affecting me. So I was inspired, and I started writing. I wrote, like, a little kind of poem thing that I might turn into a song later. But, I think it has to be something that really touches me in order for me to write about it.
So you can be emotionally invested.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And, like, bring, I get that. Like, tap into that. It needs to be real.
Exactly, because it's either, if it's not about me, it has to, I still have to feel it.
Yeah. Cool.
It seems like you doubt yourself a lot.
How did you know?
I just took a wild guess.
Yeah.
How do you, like, fix that or deal with that?
I mean, it's been a process. I've struggled with depression since I was 11, and it's just kind of, I feel like since then, every day is, like, working on myself. And in the past, I'd say like 6 months, it's gotten a lot better for me. Like, finally, I feel like I'm like finally somewhere where I'm like, okay, I'm not really depressed anymore. Like, I feel okay. So I think for me, mainly it's, I feel like it's your perspective is everything. Like, nobody looks at you the way that you look at yourself. Nobody cares. Like, it's not like nobody cares about you, but it's like, if you, the little mistakes that you make that you replay in your head over and over and over again, mm-hmm. nobody else is doing that. You're the only person doing that. When I look at myself in the mirror and I notice all the little tiny things I don't like about myself, nobody else is noticing that. None of my friends have ever said, oh, I don't like this about you. No one, like, that's just not even a thing. Like, you are your harshest critic. So just being yourself and not letting yourself, like, be your worst enemy is... It's hard, but, like, you just have to, like, constantly remind yourself, like, all, like...
Well, how do you feel about, like, you're a pretty person who has tons of followers and you're on social media. How do you feel about all those young girls looking at you like, she's perfect, she's beautiful, I want to look like her?
See, that's... I mean, I feel like I go through phases where I'll, like, post photos of me, like, looking really cute and whatever, and, like, trying to dress cute and...
Then you do some weird angles.
Yeah, but then I'll post something that's more like, okay, I'm a real person, or like, hey guys, like, I have a zit on my face right now. Like, you know, I try to balance it out. And whenever I am posting a lot of photos of me like trying to be cute, it's usually because like I'm trying to get like my ex's attention, or like, you know, I'm trying to like make somebody mad. But then I realize, and then that's when I'm like not good. Like, I'm not probably not feeling the best about myself is when I'm posting photos of me like trying to be cute. Mm-hmm. So, and when I am feeling good about myself, I don't care what I look like on social media, and I'll post whatever I want and like probably won't wear makeup for a couple weeks and whatever it is.
Which, by the way, is still real. And a lot of people do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the people who hide behind 1,000 filters every time that like, I get it. Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's life. And isn't that what people want on Instagram now? You want a balance.
Yeah, I feel like when I post like funny stuff, it gets the most likes and comments mm-hmm. out of, than when I post.
But people will still like the beautiful photos. It's like they want the real you, but at the same time, they might want the fake you. It's like every other post, you got to alternate.
Yeah, I like to think it's not the fake me,
but
like it's like me
you.
When I'm like trying, me when I'm trying, and me when I'm not trying. Yeah.
I get it. Okay. So we have three records out now that are a part. Is UDK a part of this new album that's coming?
Yeah, it is.
So we have four. Mm-hmm.
Is it the remix with G-Eazy or the one with Just You?
Oh, that's R.I.P.
R.I.P. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's what I meant.
Yeah. R.I.P. is not on the album. That's from my past project. But
okay.
UDK was the first one I released. Then it was I Don't Exist, then Care Less More, and now Love Myself.
And then, is it going to be an album?
Yeah, it is an album.
But is that the next thing coming, or are you going to drop more singles?
I believe I have one more single coming. Not positive.
Cool.
I do.
Any collaborations?
No. I might do, like, my plan was to release the album with no features just because I wrote the songs by myself and I feel like the song contains a full message, like with the first verse and the second verse and the bridge. It's all contained in one message. It tells a story and I don't want to take anything out of that. And, you know, I mean, other people's inputs on a song, it's great when someone else can take a song and add a verse and like have a whole other outlook on the song. It adds so much to it. It's amazing. So I want to do like maybe remixes of a few of my songs with some cool artists. But I want to release the album as it is with no features just because I feel like it's, you know, telling my specific story.
I was going to say, it's your story. So, and they're yours. How proud do you feel that you wrote an entire album on your own?
I'm really proud. I mean, I've been working. I think the goal ultimately this entire time has been the album for the past since I Hate You, I Love You. But, you know, I released an EP and I had all these little singles and nothing ever felt like a cohesive, like, this is an album and this is a project until now. So I'm really, like, excited because it feels like it tells a story and it's a body of work. It's not just like, here's some songs and they're going together now and there you go.
It's you. It's like it captures a certain amount of time in your journey.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's cool. And I think a lot of people are going to see themselves and hear themselves and feel themselves within these records. You
I
know?
Hope so.
They will.
You once tweeted that you don't enjoy or like pop music. So why do you make it?
Okay.
Ooh, look at you digging deep on the internet.
Well, reading through her tweets and like they're very funny. It's like a diary.
My tweets are a diary. I was going through my tweets yesterday because I had to like find an old photo. And I was like, I need to stop tweeting so much because I'm literally, like, I've been scrolling for, like, months and I'm only in December. Like, I don't know what's going on. What's wrong with me? No, but I'll listen to pop music. Like, I think it's, I appreciate, like, it as art, but I don't, like, sit in my room and, like, listen to pop music unless it's Ariana.
Ariana Grande is the only one you like.
Well, not the only one. I mean, there's definitely some songs that I like, but just, I like to, you know, I like music that I can really, really feel and relate to. And I feel like a lot of like songs on the radio specifically, I think when I say pop music, I mean like
I get it.
There's certain songs that are, some songs are just like crafted like in the machine to like be made for radio. Mm-hmm. And then there's nothing wrong with people that don't write their own stuff. I think that's a whole other thing. If you can take someone else's words and emote it and sing it and, you know, really feel it, that's, you know, there's songwriters that need to be paid, you know, that don't want to be singers. So that's a whole thing. But I don't know. I just really like when artists write their own songs and I feel like I relate to that more. And I really, and I'm just, I love R&B. That's like my number one first love. So I don't know. It's just weird that I don't listen to pop music, but I make it.
So what is it about Ariana that you like?
I think she has the R&B soul in her.
Okay.
And the lyrics are pretty real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you talk about genuine music, I think even if you just take a listen to the last three records that we were hit with, dude, those lyrics are reality. It's pretty crazy.
I try to incorporate like elements of other like genres into my music. That's why when people are like, what genre do you make? I'm like, well, I make pop music technically, like if you want to look on iTunes and look at the genre, but I draw inspiration from R&B and alternative indie music and even like rock, my all-time, one of my favorite artists in the entire world is Fleetwood Mac and like Stevie Nicks, which like, I don't know, when the album comes out, you'll definitely hear that a little bit. But yeah, I don't know.
I feel the future of music is going to be that anything could be pop music.
There you go.
Pop is popular. So it's the most popular songs from across different genres. Mm-hmm. A good pop chart is made up of different genres all combined into one. So I feel like you can't really limit yourself. It's unfair for an artist to limit themselves and think of themselves as making music just for one genre and it needs a really intense hook and everything needs to be placed here and needs to be sung within these keys. Mm-hmm. Scientific pop, right?
Yeah.
Anything has the
and that's true. That's
potential to be popular.
Exactly. So pop music is veering towards like, I think also like, not that this is a good thing, but people are like, in my generation, people are very like, I mean, Jeremy Zucker has a song, All the Kids Are Depressed. Like, it's true. Like,
good record.
There's so many people, like so many kids are just going through like mental illness and like so many emotional like everyone wants to hear stuff that satisfies that, that makes them feel emotions. So people are starting to love that stuff more, and that's becoming more popular. I mean, just it's just the pattern if you look at what artists are coming up right now.
You're right. It's a very genuine, very real, I think, generation, and I think it's a very genuine and open and transparent generation of artists that people want it because they see themselves and understand themselves in it. And then I think the people who give it, you know, obviously they're incredible artists, but they use it to heal at the same time. Yeah. It's like a give and a take. And you're right. I think people crave what is real. If the mic goes away and it's not happening in the studio, people still want to know that person that they can run into on the street or just see anywhere, you know? They crave something more. It's a deeper relationship because I think music plays a very much, not bigger role than before, but a different type of role.
Definitely.
It's a special role, but it's cool. And to your point of like artists writing their own music, like it's the only way to convey those messages is if you do it yourself. It's nice.
What do all the Barbies represent?
You come in with all the real questions. Okay.
Well, I was like purple Barbies. I'm seeing it all connecting.
Yeah. Drowning Barbie.
On my last project, It's Not That Deep, the cover art, I had this girl, this Barbie, and she was blonde, and she was supposed to be, like, drowning in shallow water. It was, like, it's not that deep. Like, it's, like, supposed to represent, like, getting caught up in all of the, like, shallow things in life and things that don't really matter. So I kind of flipped that around because I was really into the whole, like, the whole doll thing. And I was like, how can I make this into, like, my next era, but, like, kind of put a spin on it? So I decided I would recreate her and I'd turn her into this. I named her Violet. So she's basically what she represents is me if you took away all of my like human qualities, like if I was the best possible version of myself, like completely like all the things that I love about myself, but heightened and like a million more things that I would love about myself if I had those qualities. But then on the flip side of that, it represents like I could never be that. Like I can never be perfect. I can never be a doll. I can never, I'm a human being. I have flaws and issues. And so it's kind of like it's like both positive and negative. I don't know how to, that's the only
That's
way
a good explain. That explains it.
Cool.
But you've also been very open about plastic surgery. Why is it important for you to be open about that?
I mean, I think, again, like we were talking about on social media, like represent, like when these little girls, they look up to you and they, you know, they see you and they're like, oh, she's so pretty, whatever. I could never look like that. I had a nose job. I've never, like, it was one of my biggest insecurities. And I would look at girls that had, you know, noses that I have now. And I would be so upset. Like, I would be like, I'm ugly. Like, I never saw anyone that looked like me. So I like to, and like, sometimes I regret like changing that about myself because I feel like I could have been a good like role model for girls that were like me. But I figured as long as I'm honest about it and I say like, this is what I look like before, like, it's okay. Like, you don't need to change yourself. I felt like I needed to because it was something that, like, I worried about it every day. Like, I would go anywhere and that's all I would think about. Was like,
wow.
What was so?
I'm gonna cry. You guys, I swear, I literally cry at anything. It's fine.
Who do you go to with something like that? You know, do you go to your parents? Do you go to a friend? Do you? Who do you tell for the first time that you want to?
Oh, I was saying it since I was like 11. I told everybody that I wanted one.
What was it? What sparked it in you? Was there like one moment that you remember?
Not really, no. Oh, well, it started when I was, like, I think, like, fifth grade was when I had a bump on my nose, and I think that's when it, like, started, like,
being,
like, showing up, like, because, you know, when you're a kid, that's not your final form, like, your face changes. So I think I was in, like, fourth or fifth grade when it started getting, like, noticeable, when I was, like, looking at myself and being, like, what is that? And, you know, kids are ruthless. Like, they all... I wish I wasn't such a crybaby.
No, it's just... it's very powerful stuff. And the transparency is really respected. And it's...
I literally cry at, like, anything, though. Like, my friends make fun of me so much. Like, I'll just be sitting there, and, like, they'll be talking about something, like, kind of sad, and I'll just have, like, a single tear rolling down my cheek. And they're all like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm fine. Just ignore it. Like, it's just, it's, I'm crying, but, like, let's just, it's not a big deal.
But you really are sharing a story that needs to be heard, you know? Like, perfect is not perfect. Mm-hmm. Perfect doesn't necessarily exist or need to exist.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
It's really your thank you. On behalf of the next generation of people growing up. It's cool stuff.
Yeah.
How are you feeling over there, Dan?
Good. So I have some lighter questions. I guess we'll get to them.
Yeah?
You're over here making me cry.
Sorry,
like,
I apologize.
You were. Okay.
I just wanted to know, like, what's your obsession with Saddle Ranch?
Is that this restaurant?
It's the one on Sunset.
What? You have an obsession with it?
Okay. So I just was tired of going to the same places over and over again. Places that, first of all, I'm legally not even allowed to be in.
How old are you?
I'm 19.
Jeez.
Yeah. But I was over it. And, like, the clubs in LA, like, the big popular clubs, people go and they sit there and they're literally just like...
Other
and
mm-hmm.
then, like, Mo Bamba by Sheck West comes on and they're like...
Yeah.
And then, like, the next song comes on and they're like... And it's like, what are you doing in the club if you're not dancing? I'm like the one that embarrasses myself. Like, I can be like completely sober in the club and I will be
the
most embarrassing
life.
Person there.
But it makes you not want to go out, right?
No, exactly. So I was like, where can I go with my friends that we can just go embarrass ourselves and not have to worry about these people who are going to look at us and be like, like, so we just started going to Saddle Ranch and we thought it was funny. We were like, this is like such a funny place. Like, and
there's
like,
a bull.
There's a bull. And then so and also after we started going there, we started renting mechanical bulls at like every event ever.
Yeah.
Like for Zane's birthday at David's house, we got a mechanical bull.
Frightening.
For Thanksgiving, Kelsey, my best friend, rented a mechanical bull and had a mechanical bull at her house for Thanksgiving. And I went, and I don't know why all her aunts and uncles are riding the mechanical bull.
Are you good at the bull?
Not really. I mean, I've actually never ridden it at Saddle Ranch because I'm scared. I've ridden it like at all of our like a friend events that we have.
The private bulls.
Yeah, I ride the private bulls because like, you know, who's controlling it.
But also at Saddle Ranch, you can get drinks that are like in fish bowls.
Mm-hmm.
They're huge.
Yeah. And the people there love us now. Yeah,
of like, course.
I'm trying to. So around the bar, there's like plaques on like and it says like reserved for whatever.
You need one.
I'm like trying so hard to get one. They said that if you want a plaque, you have to go 3 to 4 times a week for 3 to 4 months.
Oh my God.
I think you're on your way.
That's I'm on my way, honestly. I should have worn my Saddle Ranch shirt. Honestly, I almost did.
That's the endorsement they're looking for. Also, they love you because like you're the only non-tourist in the place a lot of the time. There's so many hotels over there. That was the first restaurant I ever went to when I came to LA.
It was one of the first. Yeah, same.
My dad said that one time he dropped me off at a meeting when we first, like when we were just visiting when I first started doing music, and he went to Saddle Ranch for lunch. And I was like, Dad, what's
full
wrong
circle.
With you?
Yeah.
Like,
what's wrong with
you? Why are you getting lunch at Saddle Ranch?
You keep them in business.
Mm-hmm. Honestly. My friend Kelsey rented it out for her birthday party.
Wow.
Is that the birthday party where you were like, you were doing some lip sync thing?
I was not lip syncing. I
mean, not lip syncing, karaoke.
And again, I was fully sober and I was still the craziest person at that party. Yeah. And I don't know why I'm like that. But yeah, I sang birthday sex for her. I did karaoke. And then my friend started throwing cake. So I was, you know, in performance mode. So I was like, oh, there's cake being thrown. I like grabbed the cake and like put it on myself and like put it on my friends. And then I was like, oh, great. I have cake all over me. And now I need to go to the bathroom. And I was like trying to wash my shirt out. I keep hitting this microphone. I'm like forgetting that it's there. I talk with my hands. But yeah, I was in the bathroom for like an hour trying to wash cake out of my shirt.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds like a fun party for you.
Yeah, sure.
I forgot that you're 19 and I'm promoting the giant-sized drinks at the Saddle Ranch. You can't drink any of those. But you didn't drink the other party that I saw you at either. Are you the sober friend a lot of the time?
I like to go through like long periods of time where I am sober because I mean, technically I'm not legally allowed to drink, but you know, I'm a teenager, whatever.
Yeah.
So I found out about myself that when I drink a lot, it's not good for me, like, mentally. Like, I don't like it. I get really, really sad, especially when I'm depressed and I drink alcohol. It's horrible. Oh. Like, I've been in really, really, really dark places before, and I, like, over the summer, I was sober for 3 months, and it was, like, the best 3 months of my life. That was when I, like, was starting to, like, realize, like, that I... It was when I was starting to get past my depression. It was when I was really, like, coming into my own, and I think it was because I wasn't drinking, and I was really taking time for myself, and I took a couple, like, social media breaks, and, yeah, so I... And honestly, it's... I just, like, don't even think it's that fun anymore. Like, being hungover is horrible.
It's the worst.
I agree. But that opens up your brain, and it relieves the weight that you're putting on your brain, too. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It allows you to just deal with the weight that you have naturally to deal with. You know what I mean? Like, wow. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. Bowls, music, life.
I have a question, but I don't even know if it's a question. I'm just going to make a statement.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Well, no.
Wait, like, hold on to something.
No, I'm just like, you hang out with a group of people that all have like a really big following. Is that like important or does that help or?
No, status? I think just being in LA and being in the industry, like that's just the people that you meet. And like, yeah, I don't know.
Do you feel like you exist here now?
Yeah. I think the recently, like, the group of friends I've been hanging out with, like, I love them so much. And I live with three of my best friends, and they've been my best friends pretty much since I came out here. And so I've always had them. And then there was, like, the people that I, like, knew and acquaintances and whatever, and I would go out and I would see them, and it would be like a hi, but I never felt, like, close to them. And it was more about those people that I was writing about and the song I Don't Exist.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like... Recently, all of even my extended friends, I don't even like hang out with people that I think don't like me or that make me feel like that or that make me feel weird or that people that are trying to be cool. I just like don't
clout chasers.
I just like don't care. Like I don't care. Like you're all sitting there at Poppy and you look really pretty and what are you doing? What are you like? You're just literally sitting there.
Nothing on their phone. But you bring up clout chasers. I mean, a lot of people probably want to get into your group of friends to do exactly that.
I don't want to say that we're like exclusive, but like we just kind of we all are so close and we like we were talking about this the other day, like. We're so lucky to have a group of friends that is like real and genuine, and like we know that we have each other's backs no matter what. Like I have like the best friends in the entire world. So when we meet someone new and like immediately if we can tell like that there's anything off about them, like just a slight bad vibe, like we'll keep them like as an acquaintance and we're not going to be mean to anyone, but we won't like let them in to our like close knit group of people because it's just not worth it. Like you have the people that you can trust and then you have the people that you don't know if you can trust and you keep them at like an arm's length and you don't tell them your secrets. You can go party with them. You can go have dinner with them, whatever, but you don't want to let them in on, you know, stuff that's personal to you.
I get that. And that meter only forms from trial and error and experience.
Exactly. Oh, and I've met some like, literally, like, coming to LA, some of the people I've met, like, I'm not religious, but, like, I started believing in Satan. All I gotta say.
Wow. Dude, I've heard of some, like, people around here, I've heard rumors that they worship Satan.
Probably.
Okay. I've heard some crazy stuff.
Didn't know about that, but, well, but I like, wouldn't doubt it.
I don't want to say
who. The Illuminati?
I don't know if it's the Illuminati. I think it's even, like, even not even weirder than the Illuminati, but, like, a different... It could be total nonsense, but I did hear one thing. It's a collection of YouTubers, a part of a group.
That's scary.
They just want attention if it's YouTubers.
Anyone I know, anyone I'm hanging out with? Is it David?
No. I do wish. But he did describe his friend group in an interview that I watched once as a Twitter update. So he updates his friends. Are you afraid that you're going to get caught in an update and get recycled out of his friend group?
No. I mean, I have, like... I think if that ever did happen, it's like, great, whatever. Yeah. If someone doesn't want to be friends with me, like, I'm never going to, like, try to be a part of something if someone doesn't want me there or whatever. That's what I realized recently also is, like, why am I trying to be friends with people that, like, already are over here and I'm over here? Like, I have my friends. I don't need anything more. I don't need to be a social climber. I don't need to go and be friends with everyone and whatever, whatever. Like, I have my friends. I love my friends. I have people I work with. I have acquaintances, whatever. This is my life.
You can't waste energy because you don't got a ton of it. Mm-hmm. So you got to give it to those who want it and deserve it so then you can foster something real instead of just spreading it amongst wildly. I get you. Respect. Olivia O'Brien. Do you have a date on the album?
It's coming out in spring.
Spring. Mm-hmm. That's a season. Mm-hmm. It's not a date. But
I can't tell you the date.
Thank you. I love and those shoes.
Thank you. I was like, I need to wear these shoes. Like, what shirt can I wear with these shoes? Like, the outfit was planned around these shoes. I need everyone to know that.
That's how you know it's a good pair of shoes.
Yeah.
When they call the shots,
mm-hmm.
power.
You're going on tour, right?
Yes. My tour starts on March 31st, and it's through pretty much all of April. Okay. I'm missing Coachella.
You'll be fine.
I know. The only reason that I'm upset is because Tame Impala.
Okay.
Like, but I'm going to see them. I'm sure they're doing other festivals, so.
Are you having a full band, or what's your tour like?
I have a drummer and then a guy who plays guitar and keys and, like, cues all the little stuff. And he even does background vocals sometimes. His name is Connor. He's a legend. But, yeah, and then it's just the three of us.
Cool. One more question. I didn't know until I was doing research that you wrote I Hate You, I Love You. I thought maybe it was a co-written thing.
Well, I mean, I obviously didn't write Nash's part.
Of course.
I wrote that song in my room, like, when I was 15 on my keyboard. Like, I remember, like, the day that I wrote it. It was about this boy when I was, like, it's so funny. Now I look back, I'm like, how did I write that song about, like, this person that I literally could not care less about?
But that person changes everything.
Uh-huh.
Is there a part of you that wanted top billing on that record because it started with you?
Yeah, I think there was a time where I was kind of like, I mean, for lack of a better word, I was salty, like that it wasn't mine. But now I'm kind of grateful because I don't make music that really sounds like that anymore. Like, every once in a while I'll write a little piano ballad, but I'm kind of grateful that it got me, because it got me my record deal and my managers and my lawyer and my team and whatever. Like,
it sparked
my publishing,
everything.
It gave me a career. So I'm grateful for the start that it gave me, but I'm also kind of grateful that it wasn't like my first debut song, because I didn't know what I was doing and I didn't know how to like make music per se. And I'm glad that I got the chance to kind of start over after that and invent myself, because I didn't know who I was. And even then, like, it constantly is changing.
And that's the cool thing. You know, when you write your own music, your music could be reflective of who you are.
Yeah.
And where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to be defined by anything or anyone.
Amen.
Appreciate you taking the time hanging out with us.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you giving us energy and honesty. It really is awesome.
Thank you for having me. And thank you for making me cry a little bit.
Sorry.
It wouldn't be an Olivia O'Brien interview if I didn't cry. I always cry.
Wow. Mikasa, su casa, whatever you want. You have another song?
I just have one. I just saw this on
I'm scared every time you start talking.
I just saw this on the internet. What happened to the ducks? Somebody wanted to know.
Oh, so the ducks, we were just fostering them when they were babies. So my friend Charlie, my roommate, she has this friend who owns a farm, and he was like, I have all these baby ducks, and like, they're just going to be put in a box, because she wanted to get like a pet.
So she chose a duck?
Yeah. I don't really know the reasoning behind it. But he was like, I have all these baby ducks, and like, they're just going to be in like a box. Like, if you want to take care of them, like, you can. So we just took two of them and we made them a little like incubator, and we hung out with them every day for a little bit. And then they got too big to be in the house, so we gave them back to him, and they're free on the lake.
Oh, okay.
Around.
So that's a duck update.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Look at that. Olivia O'Brien, duck mom.
Yeah.
Breaking news.
Ex-duck mom.
You raised them. They're yours forever.
Duck
just
mom,
because they're out of the nest, you know?
All right. I'm
sure they remember you. All those good times. Olivia O'Brien, thanks for hanging.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
This podcast is part of the Zach Sang Show Podcast